Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, this podcast is brought to you by Life Work Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training. Give them a call. Thanks. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Today is April 17th, 2023. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Wonderful.
All right. This is awesome. So today we have Tanisha Schau, who wrote a book and asked me to read it and have you on and to have a conversation about it. And I think that's awesome. And today you're joined by your daughters, Talia Schau and Mariah Higgins. How are we?
Good.
Good.
Okay, everything's downhill from there. I always say that's the hardest part, just getting the names out. So you were, Tanisha, so you were on the, you came on the podcast with Rob West.
Yes.
Yeah, and yes. We all love Rob West, and that's the first time I was able to meet you, and wonderful lady, and then you reached out and asked if we could do a podcast and talk about your book. So you wrote a book called Childhood.
Yes.
Great book.
Thank you.
It's almost like a, it's almost kind of like a workbook.
Yes.
There's like, there's interactions.
Yes.
There's like lines for me to write in. I was like, oh boy. But it's, you know, it's great. And I, as a guy, I've always, I shouldn't have said that. As a person, I've always wanted to write a book.
Yeah.
Right? I've always got a lot of stuff going on, especially as we transition through life and we're trying to sort of reach out or reach back and try to figure out what got us here.
Yes.
Right? And so it's always about reflection. Right. And so I always think anybody that writes a book is awesome in my book. Right. So if I write a book, you'll be in it. So talk about the book.
Okay.
Let's talk about the journey. And your daughters are here. We're going to just sort of have a great conversation and interact with all of us and you know, let them, you know, share their part at the, that they would like to share. But let's get into it. How'd you start and what got you to the point where you put the pen to the paper?
Yeah, so I felt like it was hard for me to heal. Like, I went through a lot of things, and like we talked about earlier, I never wanted to be the victim, but I just needed to get it out. And it took me 11 years to actually write the book and complete it because I had to relive everything over and over again, like going through and proofreading. It was like, okay, so I don't want to deal with this today, and I would close the book. But then it would take years for me to open it again because I didn't want to go through it again. But I felt like I just really needed to get it out of my head, out of my heart, and onto paper to actually look at everything, like, what really happened? Like, why did I act the way that I act? Why did I have the mindset that I had? And then looking at it, it was a lot. Mm. You know what I mean? So, and God was telling me to write this book, not only for myself, but for other people that may be experiencing the same thing. So it's not even about me. When people read the book, it's about me because it's what I went through, but it's more for that person.
Well, I think, and it's like a workbook, you know, there's like interaction, there's parts, it's almost allows us to all reflect and see how this story works in all of our lives, right? Maybe it's not the same town or the same street or the same group, but I think in all of our lives, it's a common thread.
Yes.
And so you started getting under the book and start, so it took a while.
Yeah, it took a while. But after I was done, it was like a sense of accomplishment, but more, I felt free. Like, I knew when I read it the last time and I wasn't affected in a negative way, I knew I was free at that moment.
Mm. Now, when you went through each of these sort of situations as you wrote the book, did you feel some freedom from the burden that you were carrying until you wrote it down? Because, you know, my buddy Matt used to always say, If you're stressing or worrying about something, share it out loud.
Yeah.
Right? Talk to a person. It cuts the power of that in half. And so did you have that sort of same kind of thing when you wrote this down? Did you find the freedom and were able to let go of some of this stuff?
Yes, I actually let go of all of it. So as I was writing the chapters, it wasn't until I completely read the whole thing and like actually went through the, I guess you want to call them activities in it, then I know it was free. But it never happened chapter by chapter. It wasn't until I did the whole like book, right, and I wasn't affected like in a negative way. So.
So girls, did you see a change in your mom as this process went on through? Because I didn't know you before. Were you tormented? Were you stressed out? Were you a different, completely different person?
I felt like I was. Yeah. I felt like I was angry. I felt like I would take my frustration out on people who didn't, you know what I mean, who didn't deserve it. Like, it was like a lot. But I shared certain things, but I didn't share everything. Right. So it wasn't until I was like, okay, you know what, I need to do something to get this out because it wasn't good.
How old were you, the girls, when you started the book?
I don't remember. Okay. She had to be 11 because Mariah had to be 11 because she's 22 now.
Right.
Talia's 13, so she had to be 2, yeah.
Did you notice a difference in mom? She's like, she didn't yell at me this morning.
Really?
Well, is it something like that? Yeah. Does it change? I know, you know, I'm sober.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people that have heard this podcast probably knows that, you know, and there was a, you know, we live sort of this life of self, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's natural. You know, we come out screaming me, you know, it sounds like crying, but it's always about us.
Exactly.
And I think that's how we survive. And I think there's a natural transition in our lives. You girls, you may start realizing it. You're probably still a little young, but we come out, you know, more focused on ourselves. And as we grow up and experience life, find a little humility, right?
Yeah.
And we care about others and less about ourselves. And then hopefully in the end, it's all about others and none of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we get hung up in things, where we live, our environment, drugs, alcohol. You know, as soon as I started enjoying a few beverages, you know, my meter line sort of stopped and I stayed in that self-centered position until I was able to finally, you know, free myself of that nonsense. But it can be, you know, where we live. It can be a family. It can be, you know, our environment that it stops that transition. And do you feel like the book, when you started writing it, it helped that meter keep on moving?
Yeah, I think so. And it was one part of the book that really made me like, let me put this on pause for a second. And it was, I was going through one of the things in the book, and then it was like I went back to that day. I could smell, I could feel. It was weird, and it kind of crept me out. So I was like, okay, let me close it. And I feel like I probably kept the book closed for maybe 4 or 5 years. I was like, yeah, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
But it was truly a journey, and I'm just so excited for people to actually read it and engage into it. You know what I mean? To get whatever it is out, because sometimes people can be carrying things and you don't know because they don't speak about it.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is an opportunity for you to really get it out and be free.
Well, I agree, and I'm sorry. So what is your girls? What did you think when your mom started with the book and the journey watching her write the book and that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't know. I guess it took kind of a long time, I guess. I don't think she had anything towards us. I don't think.
Right.
I don't feel like she was like a mean mom, or if anything, she was more like a come and talk to me. So for me, I'm about to
cry. Yeah.
Uh-oh. we hit a nerve there. Well, that's awesome, man. That is where, you know, that I think as a parent, I'm always working on something and my kids are like, I don't know what he is up to. And then eventually you start to see the work come to be completed.
Yeah.
Fruition, that was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Start to be completed, and then you start to realize, hey, you know, my mom's really working on something.
That's actually how I was. So she kept saying, and I was like, okay, like, not whatever, but she always has these ideas. And so when she did it, I was like, oh my gosh, she like really did it. So she has a lot that she does, but when she did it, I was like it was a proud moment. I mean, the story is sad, of course. I didn't like reading it because it was like so much going on, but it was also a way, like you said, a way for us to interact and see like stuff that we're holding in.
Mm.
So I'm really proud of her, but it wasn't like she was like a mean mom or anything. Like, she was a total opposite. Like, I felt like her childhood helped her to be a better mom for us.
Oh, thank you. Right?
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if I start crying on this podcast, that will be a first.
Yeah.
What did you think? I mean, you were obviously a little younger.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Okay, we need Kleenex. I didn't even bring any. Okay. I'm sorry, girls. Okay.
I was really proud of her too because like I knew some of the stuff she was going through, but like not that much, and like all the stuff she was like doing like at the same time and like all the pressure, and she still like found a way to do it and take care of us at the same time. Mm. Yeah, like I was really proud of her for doing that. And like I knew, yeah, I never thought she was a mean mom, but like while she was writing her book, I knew she was going through some stuff, and like so I didn't like try to judge her or like hold anything towards her because I knew what she was going through, and like once she would finish it, like it would really help her out a lot.
That's awesome. I as a father, right, as I'm raising three kids, you know, and you say she wasn't a mean mom, you know, I think we look back as we get older and we realize that some of the things that might have felt mean, yeah, right, we're really, you know, I like to say we're building character, not characters.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes as kids, we're like, you're mean. As a parent, like, I'm trying to save you.
Yes.
Right? We're trying to, yes. I'm thinking of the future, right? And we want to have character in our children as they grow up and become young adults. And sometimes, you know, it's felt like it's mean. And in the end, and I think as you girls grow up, you realize you're like, my mom was not mean. She's just saving our butts.
Yeah.
And I know as a dad, it's tough because they don't get it.
Yeah,
that needle, it's still self-centered a little bit, right? And but as humility starts to come into our lives, I think that's so awesome. And so how did you feel, you know, in the beginning, you're like, it's such a huge mountain to climb, right? Mm-hmm. Did you look at it more like just one word at a time, one sentence at a time, one page at a time?
Yeah.
And try to stay in the moment?
Yeah, I really did have to take my time with it because I didn't want to... Like, I knew it would, more than anything, I was like, I don't want to embarrass my kids. So I was like, I didn't know if they would feel embarrassed, but I was like, I didn't want to because it's a lot. And so I'm like, okay, read this first, please. And let me know how you feel about it. You know what I mean? So it was a process. And it was like, all right, let's take this one piece at a time. And I had to go back and read it again. I'm like, on to the next chapter. But then I had to go back and like make sure it blended. And I kind of wrote it in a way that everybody could understand. You know what I mean? Like, simple. So it was, yeah.
You know, it's such a gift to go through something like this. It is really a gift for, you know, we don't have, as a people that live in 2023, right, we don't fear God. We don't fear much anymore. You know, we're just sort of kind of doing our thing. And we don't get a lot of opportunities to find, you know, that kind of thing in our life, right? I'm lucky. You know, I always say I'm lucky I turned out to be an alcoholic, right? It's unfortunate, but I get to address it, right? Because I don't want that to continue. I don't want that sort of thing to continue. So I have to learn about this self and humility kind of thing. And we don't get that many opportunities unless we dig in, you know, like a book and really kind of live in it and really realize the roles of certain things that play in our life. Exactly. You know, we have a lot of God and people, you know, we love to talk about God, but there's the opposite, right?
And
that opposite is always hanging out. And, you know, it's just, it's great to be aware of it, right? Yeah. It's part of our life, but until we become aware of it, it's always about the victim thing. And a lot of people speak that victimese, right? And so accountability.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really helps move us forward. And it's probably the lesson that you're teaching your kids.
Yeah.
Did you find that through when you came on the other side of this journey? Was there a lack of accountability in your life?
I don't think so. I knew... Some things I may have caused, but a lot of it I didn't. And I remember my mom saying one time, she said, when I explained to her what happened, or we had the conversation, I don't remember all the details of it, but we had a conversation, and she said to me, and it's something that stuck. She said, don't be mad with the person that did it, but be mad with the enemy that's inside of the person that did it to you. So that made me realize, okay, this is really spiritual warfare. So I wasn't, and it was one moment where I saw one of the people that did what they did, and I gave him a hug, and I said, I love you. But he like looked like, what? And he was like, I love you too. And he walked away. But for me, I felt like the weight lift. You know what I mean? Like, so I felt like I confronted, you know what I mean? That thing that was holding me bound for so long.
Yeah.
So that was that one of the moments that, okay, like, this is freedom. That's what freedom looks like.
Well, and when I say accountability, it doesn't always mean like it's our fault.
Yeah.
Right. It just means we were there.
Yeah.
Right. Because sometimes I remember things have happened to me in my life and it didn't go well. And I'm like, that was their fault.
Yeah.
Right. And poor me, I can't believe they would do that to me. And it wasn't until I was like, well, I was there.
Yeah. Right?
I did, my feet didn't take me there. So I did play a little bit of a role. I could have chosen a different path, right? So, you know, it does, just because I'm becoming accountable, it just allows, it just frees me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying. It just frees me. At least you say, okay, I was there, know what not to do, know how to maybe avoid some things. Try to, what motivated me to even get in this position, right? How lost was I? We start to become found, and then we become accountable, and we're like, all right, that's not gonna, there's a book that, it's a great book, it's called Drop the Rock, and it's about, it's a little bit of recovery stuff, but really it's about this, you know, in the opening story, it talks about this boat leaving Sobriety Island, right? Mm-hmm. And it's headed to Serenity Island, and they're on the boat, and the boat's heading out, and they notice that Mary is swimming from the island trying to get the boat. And they're like, all right, come on, Mary, you're going to make it. But they realize that she's carrying a lot of rocks around her neck, and she's drowning. And they're yelling, drop the rock, Mary. Drop the rock. You'll make it to the boat if you just drop the rock. And what that means is, you know, become accountable. Yeah. Drop these things.
Yeah.
These parts in our lives that you experienced, that I experienced. You know, I was adopted. You know, that's always a weird way to start off life, right? To be kind of given away. But listen, the debt doesn't need to decide my whole life.
Exactly.
Right? It is what it is. You know, I had to, people always ask me, did you ever find your birth parents? And I reached out once, and they did find my birth mother, and they asked if she would be willing to meet me, and she said no. And she said, not only do I want to not meet him, I do tell him never to contact me. Oh, and I was like, huh. Well, and then the lady goes, you know, but you just got to remember that she might have maybe had you when she was 14 or 15, right? And back then, it was a lot of shame in that, of course. And so she was probably in a home where they lived and then had the baby and then put the baby up for adoption and then went back to the world that she had come from and never talked about it again. And so for me to want to come into her life and say, hey, I'm me from 1968. And she's like, I never talked about that, right? That was maybe. So it could completely disrupt her whole life since then. So I had to realize that just because there's a reason, and it doesn't always have to be because I'm like a bad person, right? It's just because our lives are our lives, and I have to respect that. But, you know, I don't have to be mad about it. I don't have to be a victim of that. I can be grateful. And honestly, all I ever wanted to do is start thank you, right? Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. But, you know, whether it's a book or just life, it's this, and you girls will probably go through it in life one day. You'll be, like, reflecting and, you know, accountability and moving on and having kids. And I think, luckily, I think we all get to do it.
Yeah.
And you're doing it through this book, and it's pretty. I love how it's like a workbook.
Yeah.
Because how many books have we read? We're like, oh, right. But this one's like, oh, it's asking me to partake. Yeah. You know, there's work that I can learn from doing this book. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
How'd you get that idea?
I don't know. It's just in my head. Like, I didn't want it to be a book where you just, like, read and that's it. Like, just read the book and that's it. But I feel like if we're going to heal, then we do have to, you know, partake in the book and actually do what the activities say to do. Because it's just to get all of it out. Like, dig deep and get all of it out. Mm. So, that's...
Listen, I've had times in my life I've been down at the Rehoboth Beach Library looking for the book that's going to fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, where's the book? I'm looking for this book. There's a book here somewhere that's going to fix my life.
Yeah.
And it's never there, right? Yeah. But I like this because, first of all, it's not huge, right? It's not a giant book. It's a set down. And there's a lot of interaction in it, into it where you're asking the reader to kind of not only come on the journey with you, but to sort of experience, like, almost run journey to journey, right? Side by side, and see, you know, how our journeys are different, but at the same time, very much the same.
Yeah.
So when's the book coming out? What's the story with the book?
Okay. So I'm having,
I got a paper version of it. I'm like, I got the paper version. When's the book coming out?
They got a paper version too, so don't feel bad.
Listen, actually, I find it actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because maybe you'll sign it. Not everybody gets the paper version.
Okay. So I'm having a book signing on April the 28th from 6 until 8:30 at First State Community Action in Georgetown. It's okay. 308 North Railroad Avenue.
Okay.
But I'm going to put out, I think it's like a job form, I guess, to register. And then the book actually releases on Amazon on May the 23rd.
Wow.
Yes.
But you can pre-order.
Yes, but you can pre-order. Thanks, Ryan.
How cool is that?
So yeah. Cool.
I mean, how when did you think you'd be saying, yeah, my book drops on Amazon?
I know. I was so excited when I saw the cover of it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. But it was cool.
How many paper versions are there, and what's been the response or the feedback that you've gotten from the book?
Well, the only people that have read it are you and then my kids. Like, I send it to them. One of her friends, I think, we were in the car reading it, and she was like, oh my gosh, Mom, I love this book. And her friend was like, wait, what's going on? Like, I want to read it. So she started. And my son, he's out of it. But,
what's up, Isaiah?
Yeah, he's asleep.
I have one of those. They sleep wherever they can.
Yes. He read it too. And he actually called. We were getting gas, and he called, and he was like, Mom, he's like, I hate reading, but I love this book. And he screenshot me one of the pages that he read, and he was like, this really brought me to tears. You know what I mean? So it was like so gratifying. I'm like, yes, this could probably work.
Well, I also like that you put like some Bible references in it.
Yeah. Right?
You know, and as a... You know, I grew up as a person that it was Santa and Jesus, right? And Santa gave me something. Jesus never did. So I just preferred Santa, right? And just kind of ended that relationship. But as I've gotten older, I realized that, you know, how important the Bible is, right?
It's so important, yes.
I guess my issue with the Bible has always been sort of like, if you don't do it perfectly, don't do it. What does it say? It's better to have never walked with the Lord than to have walked with the Lord and then turn your back.
Yes,
and
I'm like, that.
I think I turned my back a couple times. You know, and I felt concerned, right? Yeah. Where's my future, right? If you're into that stuff. Yeah. And I, as a person that really wasn't, but I'm always paying attention. Yeah. I like to know when the bus is leaving.
Yeah. So.
But as an adult, I've learned, and through other programs working on other things in my life, I don't have to do everything perfectly. No. You know, I don't have to do everything perfectly. I can start my day over any time. I can start anything I do over at any time and be okay with it. And as I've gotten older, I start to learn more how that works in my life. And I like that you put the scripture. Is that right?
The scripture. Yes, the scripture. Yes.
And because it gives me a different perspective on how the situation is in your life compared to that.
Yes.
It doesn't mean like, oh, this is what I have to believe. It just is a great comparison, and words from a long time ago still playing true today. Still playing true today.
And I believe that. Like, I believe that you don't have to be perfect, but you strive for it. You know what I mean? You strive to do right every day. And with our belief, you know, Christianity, we believe that. Like, you live in a way that's pleasing to God, you know? So I feel like healing is a part of that journey, like heal along the way. And I feel like this book is really going to help a lot of people. And it's not, oh, I'm trying to make $1 million off it. No, I just really believe in the power of being healed.
Right.
You know, so I feel like it's really going to be a beautiful thing if people actually, and it doesn't have to be a reading one day thing, like sit and meditate on it. Like, okay, this day I'll read this passage and I'll think about it, because it can be a lot even for the person that's reading it, because you're bringing up all of those things, you know, that happen no matter what it is. It doesn't have to look like my journey, but all those things that happen, you're bringing it up. So it can be a tough thing to do. So
listen, there's a huge pharmaceutical market out there for people that just want to avoid doing this.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I'd rather take an antidepressant or I'd rather take. And listen, if that's what's going on in your world, do it.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. But, you know, I was also diagnosed as bipolar. I was also diagnosed with depression, and, you know, becoming accountable. I realized I was depressed because they said that I couldn't do what I wanted to do.
Wow.
Which was, you know, party and hang out and have a lot of fun. They're like, you can't do that. Well, that's depressing as an 18-year-old kid. He's depressed. Yeah. And then, you know, the bipolar. But today I realize, and I don't take any medication for it, because I realize, you know, if I'm depressed, it's usually because I'm not getting what I want. Exactly. Most problems I have in my life are just not getting what I want or being inconvenienced.
Right, yeah.
And inconvenience creates arrogance. And arrogant people run by a different rule set. And, but doesn't mean you have to stay that way, right?
Right.
It all falls back into the accountability and realizing what part we play in everything we do.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what's next?
What's next?
What's next? Another book?
Well, yeah. So this one is Childhood. And then there's going to be a second part to it called Adulthood.
Oh, boy.
No.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, I think as it's different. I mean, as a guy that has three kids, I always say, listen to what the kids have to say. You know, they're unaffected. They're still early. You know, I don't believe that, right? But I always appreciate their perspective on things because all I am is just a grown-up child that's got too much experience, right? And then I've just become affected by everything. But my kids said, why don't we go do the down to the beach? I'm like, nah, traffic's bad. Yeah, it's too hot. There's going to be too many people. They're like, yeah, it's that happened to us. We were like you once. We were free willy. But next thing you know, they're like, what? My son's like, you care if I just go to New York City? I go, yes, I care. You're 17 years old. What's the big deal? I go, I don't know, but you're not going, right?
Different.
It's different. But it's, you know, it's tough. So being a kid and becoming an adult, it's just like the same thing with more experience.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. But I feel like the beautiful thing is like I have, people that really support me, have supported me, especially my family, supported me on the journey. And like, they think that she's my best friend. She's really not. We're just always together. But really, all of my children are my best friends. And I wanted them to be a part of all of it, like from writing the book and to wherever we go from there. Like, I want my children to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. And just because you spend a lot of time doesn't mean you're best friends.
Right? We're best friends.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you're best friends as far as it comes to being a mom and a daughter. But at some point, you know, I thought we were best friends. What happened?
Exactly.
We are until I say no. And it's now I'm back to mom.
Yes, exactly.
What's it been like raising kids as, you know, coming from where you came and the journey that you've been on? I feel like it really, and I mentioned that I had been adopted. You know, I really felt like my life came full circle with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think as a person that, you know, is usually a typical situation, unlike being adopted, you probably see a little full circle. You know, you're always like, oh, there's my nose, or there's my eyes, or there's my hair. But as a kid that's adopted, I'm like, well, I don't know. That's not my nose, and that's not my eyes.
Right.
But then you have kids, and you're like, oh, well, there they are. And then I start to feel the full circle of life.
Yeah.
What was that like growing up and the changes that you went through and the growth and then having the kids and how'd that play?
So I feel like with all of them, I see something in me. Like with my 18-year-old, I saw a lot of me and inside of her. And I was like, oh, crud. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, how do I prevent things from happening to her? And so I was kind of a bit more rough with her, like stern. And then I realized, like, I have to let her, you know what I mean, live it out. Like, I can't say, okay, you can't do this because I did it and that's what happened to me. That doesn't mean that the same is going to happen to her. Right. So it was trying to balance those things out. You know what I mean? It was hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard because I always had it in my mind, like, this happened to me, so it's probably going to happen to you too.
Mm.
So it was hard trying to balance it out.
I know as, you know, here's an example. My 17-year-old, he's going to college, right? And he got accepted to Temple. And I'm like, that's great. And it's $65,000 a year.
Mm-mm.
Right. And I'm not, so I'm not paying for my kids' college. Figure it out. Right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, but I can't tell him, hey, David, you know, Temple's too expensive. You know, you need to find it. I was like, why don't you try University of Delaware, the SEED program? It's free. You know, they want to go have the college experience, which I appreciate. But I'm like, you know, University of Delaware would be much more reasonable. No, I like Temple. I go, great. Well, I'm not paying for your school. So he goes, it's fine. Calls me the other day. You think we could go check out University of Delaware?
Exactly.
And I'm like, sure, what's up? And he goes, well, it's really, Temple's too expensive. And I can go, Temple's about $65,000. And he can go to University of Delaware with scholarships and all this stuff for about $1,500.
Wow.
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell him that. Like, we can't, there's some things we just can't tell our kids because it's coming from my mouth. And as soon as it hits his ears, It's nonsense. So exactly. I said, hey, then you go live in that. And he made a great decision. Well, I mean, I guess it's a great decision. It's a decision he chose, which I appreciated, and because he thought about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, as parents, we have to step back and say,
let him think.
Go figure it out. And, you know, when you figure it out, or if you want to discuss it, I'm here. But go figure it out. Have you guys, does your mom allow that, or does she, does she know everything?
No, she doesn't know everything. So she always tells me, like, Rye, sometimes you have to figure it out. So that's one thing I do like about her. Like, she doesn't give me, like, no, you need to do this, or this is how it should go. She's always, like, giving advice, or giving a, not an opinion, but, like, I think this, so then you take it from there, and then, like, figure it out, basically. She wasn't like, this is how it's going to go. Never like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the best sort of compliments to us is when you see our kids start to have those things that we've taught them in their lives and start sharing it with their friends. You know, I have a 17-year-old now, so I have a 11 and a 10, and my 11-year-old was talking to me about kids vaping. Because there's a lot of kids vaping, Dad, and I go, and he kind of was like, you know, they're really stupid or something. And I go, listen, man, you know, you're going to come across a lot of people in the world, right, that don't do exactly what we do. And you have to find the love and for the person, not exactly what they do. Clearly, you know, I'd prefer he didn't vape, don't hang out, you know, and do that stuff. I think we've instilled some pretty good values. Yeah. But I'm like, everybody's going to do something, right? So you got to enjoy the person, not necessarily what they do. Because, you know, you may say, you know what, I don't like this kid because he vapes. What happens if he stops vaping?
Right.
He's still a person, right? He still may be an awesome guy.
Yes.
I'm not sure my kids would like the guy that I was at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. They'd be like, ooh, daddy's scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, we grow up, right? And we evolve. And I love to see when my kids think and try to, you know, live in some of the rules and that we have taught them. And I bet you do the same with your girls. Because they seem like, kids seem great. Except Isaiah, he is out. He's like a cat in the positions. Window. He rolled over. But that's a great compliment, right?
Yes, it is. It is. And I like to see certain things I really, like, I watch them sometimes, even though they don't know. And it's certain things that they do. And I'm like, oh, I'm so proud. You know, I'm so proud. Like, with Talia, she's 13, but she has this, I don't know, like, she feels like she's the mom of the family. Like, last night, Mariah called and was like, can my friends come over? And Talia responded to the group chat. I was like, no, get your schoolwork done, because she had a picture. Like, no, they can't get your schoolwork
done. Oh, that's what she said?
Yeah, Talia said it to Mariah.
She's the first line of defense.
Yes.
If it gets through then, and then you finally get to it, I guess so.
Yes, exactly. And Mariah, she's very, like, helpful. She helps a lot. A whole lot. She's always been that way when it comes to, like, cleaning. She'll make sure my house is clean, like, because she knows, like, when I get home from work, like, I do not like coming home to a dirty irritating. So
I hear you that.
Yeah. So, and Isaiah, he's more of like his heart for God. Like, he really has, like, a heart for God, and I really love that in him. And then my other daughter, Jemiah, her hug, she has, like, these beautiful hugs. I don't know what it is about her. Yeah, she's really affectionate. So it's like, if you had the worst day ever, she'd be like, bring it in. You know what I mean? And, like, it's like a hug. And it's
let's hug it out.
Yeah, let's hug it out. So,
well, it takes a team.
It's beautiful. Yes, it does.
And I, as a kid, as I grew up, it was always mom and dad and then the kids, right? And we were just always the kids.
Yeah.
But today in this world, we got a lot more going on today in this world than we did in 1970 and 75. It was a little more simple. And today we have so much going on, and we need more eyes on the project.
Yeah.
It is funny. I look back, you know, my oldest son, David, he's kind of like me. He's very quiet, right? And how's it going? Good. Good day? Yep.
Goodness.
Where are you going? Room. love you, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
And then my other son Sam, he's like, God, give me another hug, daddy, you know. So
yeah,
you see, it's fun, right? It's so cool. You know, it's our kids won't hopefully go through stuff like this. Right. I mean, we're the problem. We're trying to be the solution, but I think in the end it'd be sort of become this problem. And I had this conversation with my dad that, you know, we always want life better for our kids than what we went through,
yeah.
right? We always, whether it's better or maybe just to avoid certain situations. But then you're like, well, did these situations create the character that we are today? Right. Is this, so is it, it's tough to balance between the struggle and not a struggle.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Because you obviously don't want this to go on, but still, you know, life's tough.
Yeah.
Right? And if we don't let our kids realize that, they may actually think that it's not.
Yeah.
And so how do you balance that out between not having this but still creating character, and or is it possible?
I think it is possible. Like I'm aware that it happened, but I don't think I let it consume my mind. You know what I mean? Like I'm aware that it happened, but I still have to live day to day. You know what I mean? And still work on me as a person.
Yeah.
And I can't let what happened dictate who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're accountable.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. So what's next? What do we, are we going to, book signing, that's going to be cool. Where's it at again?
At First State Community Action on April the 28th.
So that is in...
a Friday night, yeah.
11 days.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And where is that?
In Georgetown.
In Georgetown.
Yes, it's in Georgetown, 308 North Railroad Avenue in Georgetown.
So if you're going, down 9 into the circle, you're going to go at 3, 6, or 9, which is our direction we're headed.
I have no idea.
Oh, first right?
She's to the right.
Well, it's always, Georgetown's funny. It's like, is the first one, is it 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock? Where am I turning here?
Really? So it's by, I know it's by the Crisis House. Sorry, my voice keep going. But it's by the Crisis House, like on that same...
Have you had people come up to you? Well, nobody's read it yet.
Nobody's read it yet.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to do another podcast, because I'd like to find out what people feel and think about this and their experience and journey through, because it, like I said, it's sort of a workbook, right?
Yes.
And you start reading this book and you start doing work, you're like, oh man, I think I'm working on myself right now.
Yes, exactly.
And that's pretty
cool.
That's
good, yeah.
You know, people are like, wow, I'm working on things right here.
Yes.
And I appreciated that. I thought that was really cool. Was that your idea, or is that just sort of how?
I think it was God's idea. Like, it was just in my mind, and I was like, okay, so how does this work? And then when I started writing it, I'm like, man, I hate to read. So I'm more of like a hands-on. So I'm like, okay, so I know it's a lot more people out there, you know, other than myself, that does not like to just read and see words. Like, that just clouds my mind.
Right.
So I was like, let me do something to try to get them engaged and to actually.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. Like, if you did an audible, it'd be hard to do the audible, though.
Yes,
because of the work that needs to be done.
Exactly.
But the cool thing is that it's not like huge. I mean,
60 pages.
60 pages. And I'm glad you don't like reading, because I don't like reading either. I hate reading. Yeah. Like, this is my assignment. Okay.
Even when I dropped it off to you, you were like, oh, like I got to read it.
My wife read it too.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, and she thought it was pretty heavy.
Oh, wow.
She's like, this is heavy. This is work right here.
Yeah. Imagine carrying it around, though, for all that time. That was heavy.
Yeah. So what is what's life like? You know, I mean, are you free? You know, I think I know for myself, when I'm sort of in this life prior to this life, right? You know, it's hard to, you know, I could always talk about what I did, right? Or I could always talk about what I wanted to do. But it was very difficult to talk about what I was doing in the moment, right? You know, and they always say, stay in the moment, right? Stay present. But when you're carrying around this kind of stuff, it's hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're always reflecting in it. And shaping it. And, you know, one day you look at something from the past and you shape it one way to sort of get the reaction you're looking for right now.
Yeah.
Or you shape it another way. And, you know, to do something like this and finally, you know, it's out, right? This is the official version. You can't change it in your mind. You can't turn it into something else or spin it in any other way. Did you find there was some closure? Did you were able to drop the rock?
Yes.
Can you make it to Serenity Island, Tanisha? Yes. Is it possible you're not going to drown?
Yes. I feel like it is possible. And I do feel free. Like, even reading it. Like, and I knew, like I said earlier, like, I knew after I read it and I wasn't affected by it. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus, I'm free. You know? Mm. So it's like, it was a journey. It was so long. But I feel like now that I'm here, I appreciated it. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate everything because it caused me to be a better woman. It caused me to, you know what I mean? Like, work on myself and try to figure things out because I treated a lot of people bad. You know what I mean? Because of what happened to me. And it's terrible. So you have to go back and you have to apologize for me. That's what I did. Hey, I did this and I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I was too proud, I guess, or too hurt. I don't know which word to use to go back and say I'm sorry. But then I'm able to say things that I wouldn't otherwise have been able to say before. Yeah.
Well, and you said thank you, Jesus. What about thank you, Tanisha?
Yeah. No, I never thought of thank you, Tanisha. I just, Jesus.
Yeah, but you have to do the work, right?
Yeah.
Know, when they say that the one footprint, one set of footprints, right, you know, because Jesus might be carrying us.
Yeah.
But the reality is you have to do this work. You know, you can only appreciate Jesus or blame Jesus or whatever, but at some point you have to say, you know, I'm gonna dig through this.
Yeah.
And just hope that, you know, whether, you know, I don't, people have different things, but, you know,
yeah.
Jesus is sort
yeah.
of supporting us.
Yeah.
But you are the one that has to do the work. You have to peel it back. You're the one that has to, you know, find the accountability, make the amends, you know, apologize or whatever it is. And, you know, like I said, as a person that's in recovery, there's, you know, it's funny. I find that it's almost like an exorcism of self, right? There's these steps that allow us. And one of them is to, you know, make a list of persons we had harmed and when we can make amends, right? Wherever possible, not always whenever. Wherever, right? That which means willingness. Like, I am here to do work. I'm willing. I want to move through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start living in the moment
instead of dragging around the past. Yeah. And so when I say thank you, Jesus, it's because I feel like, well, I know that I didn't have the strength to write this book. I didn't have the strength to go through this.
So without him.
Yeah. So when I say thank you, Jesus, because I couldn't have done it
by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, woman. I couldn't have done it by
thanks, woman. Other best friend.
Yeah. So that's why it means a lot. Like, it means a whole lot.
And I don't want to say that Jesus didn't play a role. I get that. I'm just also saying, you know, we have to forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to appreciate it. We have to thank ourselves.
Yeah.
And we have to move on. We all, you know, because we don't want to drag this around.
Not at all.
And
Not at all.
So that's really cool. I appreciate you writing this book.
I think it's really cool.
I think, I think that we're living in a time right now where a lot of people stress out. You know, a lot of fear out there, a lot of worry, a lot of people making money, right?
Yeah.
And it's got to keep your head on a swivel. Like, what's next, right?
Yeah.
What's going on between, we got wars and we got politics, and it's tough to sometimes, and we have so much information. I was talking to my dad the other day, and I go, when we were kids, it was like we had the TV, right? I remember as a kid, we had four channels.
Yeah.
You turn the TV on, you got, you know, your dose of information, and then we kind of lived in it. We have so much information now coming from all sorts of different directions. It's hard to handle all of it. And so I think a lot of people are really stressing and worrying and financially concerned. And the message that's being put out there isn't great. Right? It's not like it's going to be fine. It's like, be ready. And so I think this could be a very helpful book because I think we all have a childhood.
Yes.
You know? And I think one of the things is that people think, well, you know, my childhood was full of, you know, yours was one way, but let's say it was full of riches and fame.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They're tormented too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes the too much is too much.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You can suffer on that side too. So it's at some point finding this point where we want peace. And you mentioned meditation. Do you practice meditation?
Yeah, I pray often. I pray.
So praying, meditation, same or different?
No, I feel like it's different. I feel like meditating is just sitting, because you are supposed to meditate on the word of God day and night. So I feel like just sitting and soaking it up and, you know, repeating it in your head so you can get it, you know, in your spirit. And then praying is just a conversation with God.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just like
Well, Mom, a lot of people today meditate like they don't include prayer. I think that's why he was asking.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of like a...
Well, so to me, meditation is like just quieting the mind.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up.
That's what I was saying.
Shut up. Shut up. You know, just sitting. You know, I had this...
Yeah.
There's a guy, Eddie Harold. I don't know where Eddie is. He had a yoga studio, and we used to do spinning and yoga and meditation. And I'm like, oh, brother, here we go. And so we laid on the floor, and we used, I call it Minecraft, ocean breathing, you know, or monster, zombie breathing, right?
Really?
And but he would say, focus on the tennis ball. And I'm like, okay. But I couldn't because I had too much going on in my mind. Mm-hmm. But I would practice it and practice it. And then eventually I'm like, everybody shut up. I'm focusing on this tennis ball. And the tennis ball would appear and it would spin and it would be fuzzy or it'd be smooth or shiny or small or big or green or dark green. And it would reflect kind of what was going on in my life. And but the more I pushed out everything, the more I could focus on this tennis ball. And so what he taught me was really it's just – it's a really about shutting everything down, and then once you can find that really quiet place, then you can have that conversation.
Yeah, and yep, I feel so like that's what life is like now.
So her tennis ball is God, so she's shutting everything out and focusing.
Thank
on
you,
God
woman. Yeah. And I feel like that's where I am now, like a quiet place. You know what I mean? Like peace, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it feels so good. You know what I mean? To be here, and it has helped me parent a lot, because I remember a situation with my son. He I think he had got fighting or something. Somebody was messing with his little cousin. He had
Isaiah?
Isaiah. He was.
He looks okay right now. He's good.
He's in a quiet place right now.
He's in a good spot right now.
Yeah, so, and he, and I walked into his room, and I said, son, are you okay? Because I could just feel that something was bothering him. And he said, no, and he started crying. So I sat on his bed, and he just laid his head, and this was probably last year, he just laid his head on my lap, and he cried, and I said, son, let it out, cry, whatever you feel. And I wanted to show him that you don't always have to, you can let your feelings out no matter what they are. Like, let them out. Like, if you're angry, let somebody know that you're angry. Always tell somebody how you're feeling at that moment. Like, don't keep it bottled inside. So it was okay for him to cry because that's the emotion that he was experiencing at that moment. Yeah. And it's okay for men to cry. That's okay.
Yeah.
If you need to cry, let it out. And my biggest thing is just getting it out. If you're upset, say, hey, that upset me when you did that. Or if they made you happy, that made me really happy when you did that. You know, just getting all of your emotions out. So
I agree. Listen, I have we have one prayer. I'm not a big religious person.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm not God.
Yeah.
Right? That's the most important thing. But but we have a prayer, and the prayer that we say is, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you.
Wow.
Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you.
I like
it's
that.
An act of humility. You know, it's
like
any person, I think, you know, there's a step in this other program, but it says turn our will in our lives over to a God of our understanding, right? And our will is our thinking, right? And our lives are our actions. And I lived a long time with bad thinking, which in turn turns into bad actions, which in turn makes bad life, right? And so to me, that's a life sort of a lower power, right? That darker side. But when you start making better decisions, right? A humble-based decision, right? When you say, hey, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you.
Exactly.
When you're willing to make that simple, silly prayer, it frees us.
That's good,
right?
Yeah.
And that's more of a life of a higher power.
Yeah. Right?
That's a humble-based decision. You know, I think a lot of people live more of a humble life than they realize. You know, they live more in the light. I believe the world is all love, right? It's all God. God is love, and love is God, and it's all good until the alarm goes off, right? Until self-centered fear, self-will shows up and throws it all off.
Yeah.
You know, I said a prayer to God the other night. I said, dear Lord, I apologize. It's my fault. I'm screwing it up.
Yeah.
Because I do. You know, everything is fine until I show up.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so good.
I wake up in the morning and I'm like, yeah, life is good. You're like, oh, no, life's not. You know, now I'm inconvenienced. Self-centered, self-will is now in, self-centered fear shows up, and then God gets pushed out of the picture until I can find that time to focus, do some meditation, get that tennis ball going, and realize, hey, but the prayer is something that we practice. We practice for a long time. Ever since my kids could talk, we say that prayer because, you know, their fear is just self-centered stuff.
Yeah.
And if we can just take the time to recognize we aren't God, we aren't capable of carrying everything, and we'll say it out loud.
Yeah.
I always say, say it out loud.
Yeah.
It cuts it in half.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my kids get, or my youngest son always is, when school starts back up again, he's always has anxiety, you know, because meeting new kids and all the fears that goes on. And he goes, you know, I'm worried about school tomorrow. I go, well, did you pray? He goes, I didn't. Can we pray? Or he'll come to me. He goes, Daddy, can we say a prayer? And we say the same prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And sometimes we have to say it over and over. And it relieves.
Yes.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic. It's crazy. I didn't care about any of that magic as a young person. As an adult, I think it's amazing and fascinating. And I just, I love it. And so for them to use it, it doesn't say, dear Lord, make my life better. It says, I'm not capable of carrying all of this.
Yes.
And just recognizing it is very helpful. So I'm a big, big fan of that prayer.
That's good. I like that prayer.
Let's go prayer.
Can we start saying it?
You can have it.
We can't steal his prayer.
Yeah, we can't.
What?
So we can't steal your prayer.
Steal it. No, steal. I give that prayer to you. Listen, it's not about the prayer. It's about the willingness to say it.
Yeah.
Right? Because before there's a voice that says, what's prayer going to do? Right? What's this prayer going to do? Like, we've all had the foxhole prayer. Oh, Lord, get me out of this situation and I'll never do it again. Mm-hmm. I'm a foxhole prayer guy. Mm-hmm. I got involved in a business situation a few years back that was completely my fault and completely out of my control. And there's nothing worse than when you are, it's part, you're the reason and there ain't nothing you can do about it because you're powerless. And it made me, it brought feelings and thoughts of actions that aren't good. Yeah. Like I wanted to drive my car through something. So I had to really fall back on that prayer, and it relieved me. It freed me of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you.
Yes, exactly.
Because I was headed in the wrong place. Yeah. And, you know, try it. Listen, I just don't want my kids on medication. Right? Yeah. I just don't want my kids to be victims.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't want my kids. I want this, you know, whether it's fifth grade or 40 years old in a job, it's 40 years old in a job. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
Inconvenience, lack of accountability, and slightly being a victim.
Yeah.
I don't want that for them. I hope they can. I want whatever they want, but I hope it isn't that. That's all. So please use the prayer. I love it. Okay. It's very simple.
Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. Yeah.
You feel better?
Yeah.
Boom. Listen, and anybody that's listening, if you have kids, sit down. You know, try prayer. It doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to make a trip on Sunday to church. Yeah. You know, it's about humility and self. It's that balance. I'm a big fan of this guy, Ren, and he says, when the light is brightest, the darkness is the darkest it'll ever be on the backside. And you have to remember that, you know. We especially live now in a world that it's all about likes, right? In these moments, and you know, you can do something like, Daddy, I just had 150 people like this, and they're at this level, and you're like, oh my God. But then you got to come back down, right? Yeah. And the darkness is always the darkest at when the light is so bright. And so you have to be careful because what feels good isn't always good for our spirit.
Yeah, because I feel like then it'll kind of drive your motives, because if you got 150 likes and then it stops, and then I got to do something else to get another 100. Yeah, so it's just like, why?
Well, and it's unfortunate. I don't know if you guys are on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, the inappropriateness on it, not you, but the inappropriateness that I see on like these reels now, I'm like, what is going on?
I don't have Instagram.
Well, and you know, I have seven Instagrams for different podcasts and different things.
Yeah.
So I look at them in these reels, and I don't understand why, but some like for a different podcast we do, the reels come up very inappropriate, and it's not like, it's just people trying to be at a different level, right? And I just, the point is that it keeps going higher and higher, and I don't know what. Next, it's just going to be naked people on Instagram.
Yeah, just,
just nothing just on it. And just walking around naked. I'm like, what's going on? Do you see?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
It's not. And then I'm like, well, how come I got this in my line? Am I a bad person? Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. Please forgive me. But I guess the whole point of that is the pressure on you, on kids these days, and then when you girls hopefully have families one day, and the pressure that will be on your kids, it just keeps going.
Yeah. And does it feel that way for you? Do you feel pressured, like, when you see it? Like, what is?
No, not really pressured. I don't know how to explain. What are you talking about, like, seeing stuff on social media?
Yeah, like trends, you know, shoes. Like right now, the big thing is drinking these Prime.
Oh, my gosh.
You know about this?
Yeah, because, everybody at my school started drinking them, and they were like, oh, it tastes just like Gatorade. And I'm like, y'all all trying to be like each other. And, like, y'all keep getting let down when it's, like, it's not as big as you think anymore because everybody's copying each other. So it's, like, not something to do anymore because everybody's doing it now. Right. So it's, like, no one's different anymore because people do it to be different, but everybody's doing it. So
I'm like, what is up with this Prime? My son, he's like, we got to get... It's
Logan
a drink.
Paul made an energy drink,
and it tastes just terrible. Like Gatorade. It does not taste like Gatorade. It tastes like it tastes like syrup. I mean, it's so sweet. He's like, "Taste this, Dad. It's really good." I'm like, "All right, I have diabetes already. I'm about to go to the hospital." That needs about 9 pounds of ice in it just to somewhat drink it.
Right.
But you know, and then you. So my kids are like, "We need the prime. We need the prime." I'm like, "I can't. It's just." It's a tough world out there. Yeah. We had it easy. You know, we're the last generation before social media. We're the last generation before, you know, Facebook and all this stuff. We still, I changed a TV channel with my feet. Reach up and that was my remote. I had to turn the channel with my toes. Well, listen.
Good Lord.
I appreciate you asking me to be part of this. I hope I did you some justice.
Yes,
you can come back you can come back every week if you want. We'll talk about this book. The door is always open for you. You know that. We love Rob West, and I appreciate Rob West for introducing us.
Yes.
I'm not sure what else I can talk about this book because I haven't. We got to release it, right?
Yeah.
I want to find out what people. My biggest. I want to know. Not concern. My biggest curiosity is how it helps people.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome because. Like I said, I've been down to the Rehoboth Library trying to find the book that's going to fix my life, and I needed to fix it. And I think this book is awesome because it allows me to be part of this journey with you. Just because it's not the same journey, we all
can relate to.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Well, girls are proud of your mom.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Isaiah. He's definitely proud. So, website? Do you have a website? Anything we. So
no,
you
don't
have an Instagram?
No, I don't have Instagram. I don't have an Instagram. Well, she does.
She does, but I run it. So
okay.
Just for stuff like this. So I run her page. So she really
How
does
funny is that, right? It's usually parents running their kids' Instagram. Yeah. Their kids are running your Instagram.
I don't even see it. Like she was like, oh, look at okay.
Well, that is one of the challenging things for old people like you and me, Tanisha, is that we have got to partake in this current stuff. And I struggle, too. I'm like, I do not feel like going... on Instagram.
Yeah, really.
I'll flip through it, but I'm not posting. And so that's cool because it's almost going to take something like that to get the word out, right? Is, you know, doing a reel, doing a short, you know, a little clip, flipping through the pages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever it's going to be. But it's great that you have your kids that can still have that energy.
Exactly.
And maybe even understand it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll hire you to do my Instagram. no website?
No website. But when you go on Amazon, if you just type in childhood, that's how I've been having to do it. Like childhood and then just Tanisha Shao, and it'll pop up that way. Because I tried it just doing childhood and so many things came up.
Yeah.
So you have to do childhood and Tanisha Shao on Amazon to pre-order. So...
Nice.
Guys, if you're interested, please pre-order. I have to have enough traffic on Amazon in order for them to... actually
do it
well
listen I mean besides the fact you know I just love the fact you wrote a book right I think a lot of people out there go I'm gonna write a book and then you see somebody do it and you're like good for you so you know support Tanisha because she's put the work in she put the pencil to the paper and got the book done and then you know kind of go through the journey because I think we all have a childhood and good or bad, it does shape the person that we are. Mm. And, you know, maybe one day become the person that we want to be.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, listen, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Come back 6 months, whenever, and update us and let us know how the book's gone. And, you know, if we can maybe bring somebody in and get maybe interview them and find out how the book was in their lives.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
I appreciate you girls for coming in. It was a good chat.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Being there for your mom. Take care of her.
Thank you.
All right, Tanisha. Thank you so much. And so the book is Childhood. You can just go on Amazon, type in Childhood, and you can bring it up for pre-order. Let's Let's make this lady's dream come true. I appreciate it. All right, girls. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.